We have to get control of the tyranny in America. Everything from big tech, silencing, shadow banning, deleting accounts, ruining businesses, overreaching, tyrannical restrictions and mandates amid these health concerns, right? In the name of health and safety, ruining businesses, shutting them down completely. One business that will not be ruined, and I appreciate your patience while you listen to us as we talk about one of our great sponsors, Johnson Jewelers. You know that it's a packed show today, and I know that you want to get into it, but you know that we have to pay our bills, and without sponsors like this, we would not be able to be here and bring you the wonderful guests that we bring you. We have Jason Fick coming up, and you're not going to believe his story. He could change the way that we are doing this program forever, the way that you interact on social media. We're going to tell you how, but first we want to talk to you about Johnson Jewelers. Johnson Jewelers is located in the Communist People's Republic of Minnesota. However, they can do business worldwide, and they do custom jewelry, okay? So anything that you can imagine, if Fat Uncle Stan left you a crest, a family crest, or if Auntie Betty left you a stone, and you don't like the way that it is, and you just kind of shove it under your pillow or shove it into a safety deposit box or shove it up your ass, none of that is acceptable. What you need to do is actually get something custom made for you so that you can keep that thing closer to your heart. Maybe you wear it on your ears or around your neck, on your ankle, on your wrist, or in a ring. Johnson Jewelers can do any of that for you. Just get over to johnsonjewelers.com, or you can click on the link from the PCRadioshow.com. The PCRadioshow.com, and PC Radio starts right now. Open letter to elected representatives. It's 2021 now, and our country is still under attack. Get your asses to work and fight for our republic. Signed, your boss. Mitch McConnell really he's showing his true colors. If there's one positive thing that I have to say about Mitch today, it's this. At least he's not hiding his traitor ways. I mean, he's right out there in front of everyone, aligning himself with Biden, smiling in his face, shaking his hand with some secret New World Order grip, vying for a cabinet position, possibly securing his next term. Meanwhile, Bozo, Bill de Blasio, right out in front of the whole world, too. There he was, dancing his heart out in a vacant and shut down Times Square while the rest of the world is locked in their homes, away from their families, muzzled, and losing their businesses. As progressive radical tyrants seeking communism for America become more and more empowered, more and more rich, and seize more and more control through compliance. I have said on this program multiple times that Republicans were equally complicit in the stolen election as the hijacked Democrats. And I got huge blowback as a result of those statements. But just like the names I was called for predicting the politicization of COVID-19, but guess what? I was right. I was right about all of it. And now Lynn Wood confirming my suspicions. His tweets have included Chief Justice Roberts, Mitch McConnell, and now Vice President Pence. He's calling for the arrest of those responsible for selling our country right down the river. And he's getting attacked from every angle. No doubt, it's a very hard thing for a guy to do. Standing alone to fight for our republic, much like President Trump has done for the last 4 years. But to those attacking Lynn Wood, to those saying he needs to bring the proof, let me remind you, Lucian Lincoln Wood is one of the country's most prolific and most successful defamation attorneys. Let me remind you, the guy successfully sued CNN. Let me remind you, Wood has direct access to the president and knows exactly what he's saying. Wood, like President Trump, is a calculated individual. There's just no way in hell that Lynn Wood puts himself right out there like that without knowing exactly what he's saying. This is calculated. Let me tell you why. When someone sues, all of the allegations come to light. Everything relating to the defamation allegations of slander become public. And what he's doing is he's challenging Chief Justice Roberts. He's challenging Mitch McConnell. He's challenging Mike Pence to sue him. He's saying, deny it or come and get me. He's playing a game of cat and mouse, and it's absolutely brilliant. Wood is using his nearly 1 million Twitter followers and another 500,000 in the Parler platform to disseminate information directly to Americans because the mainstream media just won't do it. Seriously, Jovan Pulitzer went live on television, live, in a subcommittee hearing in Fulton County, Georgia, and tried to tell the whole world about his successful hack into the Dominion servers. The mainstream media, completely silent. Unless you listen to this program, maybe OAN or Bongino, you would have no idea that this is even going on. The media is complicit in the quest for communism, and the deep state is not limited to the hijacked Democratic Party. The GOP is dead, and Republicans are now scrambling as they run for their lives. I mean, we're talking about pedophilia here. We're talking about messages between Paul Ryan and Mike Pence and their plan to go after the president. We're talking about Jeffrey Epstein and whether or not he's really dead. I mean, we're really talking about these things, the deepest corruption you could ever imagine. And the media is completely silent, gone, absent. Meanwhile, your First Amendment, completely gone, as big tech will silence your posts, delete your accounts, and limit the visibility of truth as they suppress stories in their efforts to control the narrative. The president has frequently mentioned Section 230, and of course, you haven't heard, the fight is really on. Thanks to one man, Jason Fick. The Supreme Court is hearing a case and is expected to make a decision that could change the social media world forever. Justice Thomas welcomed an appropriate case to properly interpret the CDA Section 230, and Fick's case should be that case. From jasonfick.medium.com, some say Section 230(c)(1) of the Communications Decency Act, CDA, gave us the 26 words that created the internet. But the right to free speech would be the foundation upon which the internet was built. Subsection C1 tells us no provider or user of an interactive computer service shall be treated as a publisher or speaker of any information provided by another information content provider. It's a lot of legal mumbo jumbo, but it's true. And some legal scholars, politicians, and even judges across this nation believe that C1 does not allow for an interactive computer service provider to be treated as a publisher or speaker of any content, so long as the content was created entirely by someone else. We hear it day after day. You cannot treat a service provider as a publisher because they did not create the content. You cannot sue because Section 230 protects tech giants from everything. What if I told you that all minds prescribing to this view missed something? What if I told you that one word changes the entire understanding of Section 230 protections? What if I told you that one word could literally correct the rampant legal misapplication of CDA immunity that is crippling in us economically, ideologically, and politically? Would you want to understand how? He was a Facebook marketing influencer from 2010 to 2016 until Facebook wiped out his entire business. In 2018, he sued Facebook. The lawsuit went through the Northern District and Ninth Circuit Court, filed in the Supreme Court November 2nd. Their petition went unchallenged by Facebook, but on January 8th, the Supreme Court meets to decide whether to hear the case or not. If it's heard, Jason Fick will fundamentally change Section 230 and open Twitter, Facebook, Google, and YouTube up to real liability. It's a huge battle coming to a head, and Jason Fick joins us to talk about it now. Jason, Happy New Year, and thanks a lot for being here.
Happy New Year to you, Stu. I appreciate you having me on.
Uphill battle, or is this thing winnable?
It is entirely winnable. Matter of fact, I believe I'm going to. Ultimately, the biggest situation, the hardest thing about this would be is being heard in the Supreme Court.
Right.
That is the hardest thing about any kind of like law change there is. And I mean, I knew going into this lawsuit that this wasn't going to be won in California. I was going to have to go the entire way. This is a very, very long battle. However, as you started to read in there, the Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas recognized the problem with Section 230, and actually brought to light very much a lot of the same legal arguments that we have, which I want to touch on it when you were reading some of the excerpts from the article in the Medium that I wrote.
Please do.
So in that that October 13th statement, he said that the Supreme Court has never actually interpreted Section 230. Everybody believes it's like, established law. It's really not. It actually has never been heard by the Supreme Court. And those are my words. Those are the justices' words. So people are sitting there saying, oh, you're wrong. No, I'm not wrong. They're his words. Not only that, but he said it would be in the behest of the Supreme Court to handle an appropriate 230 case. Well, that is my case. It pulls it apart in every which way, shape, or form. And it was interesting. And I wanted to see if maybe some of your listeners and so forth, I'm just going to give them a quick quiz here and see if even you caught it.
All right.
When you read a Medium article, all right, and you read Section 230(c)(1), which was no provider, user of an interactive computer service shall be treated as publisher or speaker of the content of another. Did you notice the mistake? It was deliberate.
I guess I didn't.
Okay, so what I had written in there is that no provider, user of an interactive computer service shall be treated as a publisher or speaker of the content of another. That is not what the law says. The law says the publisher. That one word is critical to the way 230 has been adapted and applied. And what most people don't understand is that if I said that you're the newscaster, right? If I said somebody else is a newscaster, are they you or are they them?
Right.
It's a matter of language, right? So we have to start to look at it and say, wait a second, it says the publisher. Why does it say the publisher, not a publisher? Because the courts have interpreted it as you just can't treat them as a publisher. Well, you can. You can actually treat them as a publisher, which would fundamentally change everything, wouldn't it? If we can't treat them as a publisher, a publisher, you can't treat them as anything. You can't do anything to them, which is the blanket immunity they currently, you know, enjoy. And what we're saying is no. You can't treat them as the publisher who actually published it. That's it. That person alone for their actions. So now you have to look at it and you go, wait a second, who took those actions? If they took them, then they are responsible. There's the shift.
I want to talk to you about I want to kind of talk in simple language here for a minute. We're talking to Jason Fick, by the way, whose lawsuit that could be heard by the Supreme Court could change social media forever. We're talking specifically about Section 230. Jason, let's dumb this down. Let's just take examples, okay? Just for me, okay. Because I didn't catch the A versus the right?
So I know, it's very, very subtle.
Yeah. So dumb it down for me for a second. Let's take the New York Post story about Hunter Biden and his laptop filled with child porn and quid pro quos and involving Joe Biden and all these other things. Let's take that and let's take Twitter's response to completely remove it. Okay, and let's take Facebook's response to shadow ban it and delete it from everywhere. They went so far as to delete people's accounts. I mean, they locked the press secretary for the president of the United States out of her physical, her professional, her official Twitter account. No communication from the press secretary directly to the American people as a result of this story. Okay. Would your victory in a Supreme Court allow for that kind of behavior to continue, or would that eradicate that kind of behavior?
Okay, so it's a little complex, okay? So there are effectively two laws, okay? There's C1 and C2, and we're not going to get into it's C2A specifically. But if the company removes content, which they are allowed to do, okay? If you remove content, you're a publisher, right?
Yeah.
That's the Ninth Circuit even agreed to that. You are a publisher. If they remove content, it would normally go to C2A and say, did you remove that content in good faith? You've heard that one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if they remove the New York Post content, it therefore should be subject to C2A because they removed it. The question is it in good faith? Now, if I were to be the New York Post and I decided, I'm going to sue Twitter for doing that, what's happening is that Twitter, or in my case, Facebook, flips the argument and says, hey, wait a second, we have 230C1 immunity. Wait, what? I thought this had to apply to C2A, right? But here is where it gets confusing. When they remove content, they are a publisher. If they cannot be treated as a publisher in the first law, what's the purpose of the second law? So there's no good faith anymore. So what's happening is it's essentially a circle. So when they come in and they say, well, we're removing it in good faith, well, we don't have to worry about that because we can't be a publisher, which means that we can remove things, which we keeps going around a circle. It's carte blanche immunity.
Yes, it is.
And what we're saying is, no, the first one isn't a publisher, because if you can't be treated as a publisher, it means that you can remove anything and you don't even have to worry about being in good faith.
Now, you were a marketing influencer on Facebook.
Yes.
They ruined your business.
Yes, they took it all down.
Explain that. What kind of business were you running and how did they destroy? What did they destroy?
So we came in and so think about the early days of Facebook, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Twitter, everybody else like that. It's kind of like a shopping center, right? They build the land, they build the businesses, and they say, hey, look, there's no business right here right now. We'll give you a free lease if you come in and build your business. Mm-hmm. So we did that. We came in and built our businesses. Then the problem was there was only so much space and so many places that the people could actually visit. So they actually had to come up with rules and regulations to force out those guys that were under those free leases so that the big box stores could come in and take over that space. That's what they did. That's what their business plan was. Hey, look, everybody can build their, you know, distribution for free, but when we're tired of you, we're just going to take it away and give it to the people who pay us.
Yes.
So their business model became a direct competitor with their own users, because sponsored ads end up in the newsfeed the same place we are, right? Mm-hmm. So they started removing content and removing people, not in good faith. Like, they just started doing it for their own economic, ideological, and now political reasons, right? They're just removing it, but it's not good faith. They keep getting away with it because as soon as you say, well, you're removing my content in bad faith, they come back with the argument, well, you can't treat us as a publisher.
Well, Zucker and Dorsey.
No, we can.
Yeah. And it's no secret, Zucker and Dorsey are not righteous men. And if you were watching them testify before the committee, you could see that. I mean, they fudge the numbers, they lie, and they deny. But the proof is right there. I mean, you are one of thousands, tens of thousands of stories that where businesses have been completely flipped upside down and ruined. And then the parallel here is, if you notice, you were pushed aside and your whole business was ruined for these same big box people that are now allowed to be open amid a pandemic that is supposed to be the world-ending plague, but yet somehow it's safe for me to stand nut to butt in a line stacked up like cordwood with you and your mama and everybody else in the checkout line at these places like Walmart and Home Depot and Lowe's and Menards and all these other, you know, all these Target, all the people that are padding the pockets of the politicians involved with the establishment and the deep state are the same ones who are being allowed carte blanche by Twitter, by Facebook, and this is not a coincidence.
It's centralization of power.
Correct.
It's all it is. That's all this is, too. It's centralization of power. I mean, have you heard the term authentic sources?
Hmm. How about these fact checkers? Where did they come from? You heard Candace Owens is now suing the fact checkers. And she's come out and called them out saying, wait a minute, hold on a second here. Who are you to say that my feelings should be checked as whether they're factual or not? This is subjection. This is my opinion. At what point did it become against the policy for me to say it's my opinion that this election was stolen, and I've seen a whole bunch of corroborating evidence to support my opinion? No, I'm not breaking news here, but I'm a commentary guy, right? It should be my right to opine on these kinds of things. That's called 1A, you know, and that's part of what this whole 230 thing, that's the most important part of this whole 230 thing. Does the president really want to eradicate 230 altogether, or do you think he's looking to more reform 230 when he talks about this?
Honestly, I think he's brilliant. And because he's brilliant, you don't always say what you necessarily want to get done. It's the art of the deal every which way. The administration is well aware of my lawsuit. So is Justice Clarence Thomas. I mean, what he said was basically our lawsuit. And it's tough because I come on very much like this. And I come on and I'm trying to explain something that 23 years, lawyers got it wrong, judges got it wrong, and now I'm supposed to explain it to everybody and they're all supposed to get it. It's a very, very subtle problem with 230, but once it's fixed, 230 works elegantly. It would work perfectly. The problem is the applicable law is not being applied correctly. It's just wrong. So if we fix it, that would be amazing. But amending it is a whole different – and let me answer your question here.
Yeah.
Amending it would be a problem because what are you going to do, rewrite the same thing again? So repealing it is it's crazy. It's like sitting there saying there's traffic laws that are you know, people are crashing because there's a bad traffic law. Let's get rid of all traffic laws. You can't really do that either. I believe what is going on is – President Trump, Congress, everybody else like that is making 230 a question of national importance, right? I mean, would you say it's almost global importance? Would you not agree with that?
I agree 100,000%, yes.
There are three things the Supreme Court handled. Habeas corpus, meaning you're going to go to your death, right? The second thing they do is what's called a circuit conflict. It's when states start to disagree with one another, so they step in to define the law. The third thing is, and it's less commonly addressed, is questions of national importance. Well, of course, elections, national importance, but there are things like Section 230, which have national importance because they are now interfering with the First Amendment. Now, the first, and I want to clarify here, the First Amendment does not apply to Section 230, and anybody that tells you it does is wrong. Literally, it says even if the materials are constitutionally protected, it allows them to interfere with the First Amendment under C2A. That's the way it works. But the thing is, they've got people out there throwing everybody off who are actually paid and work for some of these big companies. So they're throwing everybody off. And I just sat down. I was like, no, that doesn't even apply. And you have these arguments with them and they're going, First Amendment. I'm going, I'm not talking about the First Amendment. I'm talking about the textual basis of the law is wrong. Let's fix that. Once we fix that, and I think the pressure from the president is helping the administration, Congress, I think the Supreme Court's going to step in.
When will you know about your case?
I'm sorry, what?
When will you know about whether or not your case is going to be heard in the Supreme Court?
So our petition for writ of certiorari, which basically, and so people that don't know what that is essentially us asking the Supreme Court to hear our case, because they don't have to. But we're saying, hey, look, this is a matter of national importance. We believe we have the law sorted out. We have an agreement, like the Supreme Court is actually somewhat in agreements with us. Please hear us. Now, we filed that on November 2nd. They had 30 days. Facebook had 30 days to challenge our petition. They went silent. No, they went unchallenged. They didn't say we were wrong. They didn't say we were right. They just said nothing. So now they did what's called distributing that to the Supreme Court justices to decide. That decision will be on the 8th of January. They will decide whether or not to hear this case. It's pivotal for the entire nation.
I agree with that 100%.
Probably the 11th.
Yeah. I'm up against a hard break here. You know how this thing goes. Will you come back after the 8th and let us know how this thing pans out?
Absolutely. It's heard, it's going to be big.
I commend your bravery. And, well, not only that, but I mean your insight and your attention to detail with this thing. All these judges, all these attorneys were getting it wrong. Jason Fick got it right. By the way, you can follow him on Twitter at Jason Fick. That's F-Y-K. F-Y-K at Jason Fick. Make sure you get over there. Coming up, we have to talk to a business owner about how she is acting in defiance. What? By opening her business? Is that defiance? We'll welcome Lisa Hansen from Minnesota. Don't go anywhere. Stick around. My name is Stu. This is PC Radio.
We will force votes.
We will not stop.
Any Republican senator is part of the cover-up.
What the f***?
Impeachment.
This is madness!
The PC Radio Show with Stu and Rich. Back in a minute.
I want to talk to you right now about Verve United. So we've talked about Verve forever at the beginning of the show. That is the CBD, and we'll talk about them again because they are wonderful people. But this is a veteran-owned company that also has a clothing line. And this is why it's important because here, hold on, let me see if I can get some of these. For those of you that are viewing us, I want to show you these things. For those that are listening, let me describe them. We're looking at a Trump Lives hoodie. There's also this one. This is my favorite one here. America Wins. All right. These are high-quality shirts. These are great shirts. They're wonderful shirts, and they are patriotic shirts. Let me remind you, these are for patriots only. So if you are a purple-headed mumbo-jumbo that lives gaming in your parents' basement, this is not for you, all right? So make sure to get over to Verve United or visit us at thepcradioshow.com, thepcradioshow.com. That's thepcradioshow.com. We have an interview coming up right now with Lisa.
Censored by Twitter, shadow banned on Facebook, and hated by fake news media. The Patriotically Correct Radio Show with Stu and Rich. Mojo 5-0 Radio.
As small business owners continue to grapple with tightening and overreaching dictatorial restrictions, many owners of restaurants, coffee shops, bars, retail stores have decided to open their businesses despite their Nazi-like communist governors and mayors attempting to choke them out. The same radical progressives that seek to defund the police, abolish entire law enforcement agencies, and demonize cops will literally turn right around and use law enforcement as their muscle, as the new age brown shirts to intimidate and threaten law-abiding citizens with lawsuits, fines, and even the threat of arrest and prosecution. Some have called this opening defiance, but we call it freedom. One of those business owners acting in accordance with the Constitution is Lisa Hansen. Hansen owns and operates The Interchange, a restaurant located in Albert Lea, Minnesota. The attorney general in that state is Keith Ellison, formerly known as Keith Hakeem Muhammad X, who actually celebrated the killing of cops in his writings and was a self-proclaimed extremist Muslim and an American apologist. Lisa, thanks a lot for being here. It sounds to me like you have quite a bit going on in Albert Lea there, and we applaud you for standing up for your constitutional rights and opening. We don't call it defiance. And isn't it a shame, Lisa, that we actually have to acknowledge people for their bravery to open a business? It's insane. Yeah. Where are we today?
It is insane. Thanks so much, Stu, for having me on. It's crazy. And all we're trying to do is exercise our constitutional rights. We're just trying to run a business.
Yeah. Have you been met with any resistance locally in Albert Lea at this point?
You know, locally in Albert Lea, everyone's treating us really great. So I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah. Have you been contacted by the attorney general, or do you think Keith Hakeem Muhammad X is aware of the fact that you're going to be opening?
I'm pretty sure that he's aware that we've already actually opened our business. We've been open since December 16th.
Good for you.
And we continue to be open. We received a lot of information from the state. We've been served papers. We've received a cease and desist, and we are bracing for the book to be thrown at us in every way possible. So.
You know, we had another Lisa. Lisa Monet Zarza is in Lakeville, Minnesota, and she opened her restaurant there called Alibi. And we talked with Angela Marsden from California, who opened her business. She was even told that she had to close her outdoor dining. But then again, the mayor there, Garcetti, approved a permit directly across the street, 50 feet away, for Hollywood, for movie people, to have a gathering of 200 and some people, somehow deemed that to be safe. The hypocrisy is astounding. Over the New Year holiday, on New Year's Eve, we watched as Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York, was dancing in Times Square with his wife, which was completely shut down, just flaunting the elite entitlement of these progressive radicals that are trying to choke out everyday business. With the lack of scientific data that supports masking, and with the scientific data that actually suggests that these lockdowns are counterproductive and actually are encouraging the spread, what do you suppose is the difference from somebody coming to, say, The Interchange, your business, in Albert Lea, versus being stacked up like cordwood in checkout lines at Walmart, Target, Home Depot, and Lowe's?
Exactly. I mean, that's a great point. What is the difference? Why is it okay for people to go into Home Depot, Walmart, Costco, et cetera, but yet they can't come into my establishment where I follow all the protocols that the government has set out for us prior to COVID? We're very clean. We're very safe. We have our tables, we're not on top, our tables are not on top of each other. We have space between the tables. And you know, the other thing is, we don't force anybody to come into our establishment.
Yeah,
that is something that people choose to do. They want to come in and dine with us. They are welcome. They're welcome to come in with or without a mask. They are welcome to come and stay as long as they want and gather in a number of groups, whatever size of group they want to gather in. We're all adults here, and I think that we can should definitely be able to exercise our constitutional rights.
Yeah, everybody is they know the risk. You know, they know what they're mm-hmm. risking. They're risking the grave 99.89% survival rate. And you know that. Listen, we're Americans. This is supposed to be the freedom of individual liberty, where I'm allowed to decide if I am going to assume that risk. You know, if I'm diabetic, or I'm way overweight, or I have congestive heart failure, or something that compromises my immune system, if I really feel that the coronavirus could potentially kill me, or I could succumb to the COVID-19, I may not come and join you. You will open your business, and you may have nobody come to see you, or you may have a waiting line out the door. It all depends on who chooses to do what. In the presence of your constitutional celebration, I'll call it, there's obviously the looming threat of fines and things like that. Is there some place where people can go to donate financially? Are you assuming all this risk on your own, or can people kind of put money into a kitty in case you're looking at some big fines here? What do you have going on in that regard?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for asking. We do have a GoFundMe page. They can find that, of course, by going to GoFundMe. And the page is called The Interchange, or We the People, actually, is the title of the campaign. We also are taking donations directly inside our establishment. We've had an amazing amount of support. People have been coming out of the woodwork just to support us, to give us a kind word, to leave some of their hard-earned cash so we can fight this fight. We've had people donating their time. We've musicians coming in. We had once in a while we open up for a nightly event, and we'll have live musicians come in. And so yeah, it's been astounding to see the support. So that's what we've got going now. Crossing my fingers, hoping that what we are doing here, with using the Constitution as our basis, is going to provide us the freedoms and the liberties that we should be experiencing right now.
It's a living and breathing document, it would seem. It's a damn shame. Yes. Lisa Hansen, she has the restaurant The Interchange in Albert Lea, and we'll keep you in our thoughts and prayers. We applaud what you're doing there, and we would encourage you to stay doing that. Stay on with me for a second. I want to talk to you off of the air for a second. Sounds like a place that I would want to go. PC Radio will be back in about 60 seconds to talk to you more about these overreaching, hypocritical, communistic, dictatorial, radical, tyrannical lockdowns and restrictions. Thanks for being here. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
We will force votes.
We will not stop.
Any Republican senator is part of the cover-up.
What the f***?
Impeachment.
This is madness.
The PC Radio Show with Stu and Rich. Back in a minute.
Definitely applaud her for her bravery, and we hope that if you're in Minnesota that you'll take the opportunity to get down to Albert Lea and stop into the Interchange restaurant. I want to talk to you about a sponsor of ours, though, on the program. Very important, because without sponsors, this program also would cease to exist. So I want to talk to you a little bit about Verve Forever. Now, I didn't know anything about CBD prior to talking with TK, Tim Klund, over at Verve Forever, and now that I know about it, I am actually a consumer, a customer of Verve, and I use CBD. I thought, oh, everybody's just out here getting high off of this jelly. That is not the case, okay? I use the non-THC stuff. I have tremendous shoulder pain, and I was actually scheduled for surgery before the coronavirus pandemic made them reschedule my surgery and push it out. I no longer am going to have that surgery. I have zero pain. We're talking about, I was at a 10 all day long. I have zero pain. This stuff really is a miracle. The highest quality CBD at the lowest available prices on the market. Just get over to thepcradioshow.com and check out the Verve link.
The PC Radio Show with Stu and Rich. Back in a minute.
Here's important new information from the Diabetes Solution Center for you, a family member, or a loved one suffering with diabetes. If you have lost your provider, or if you need a provider for diabetic supplies, you may qualify to receive your diabetic testing supplies now with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to be potentially eligible. Call the Diabetes Solution Center right now for details. Just takes a couple of minutes. Our friendly, knowledgeable agents will give you free, no-obligation information, handle all the insurance paperwork, and make sure your supplies are delivered directly to your door for free.
Call U.S. Medical Supply 24 hours a day. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. Call right now. 800-597-9323.
Patriotically correct. Politically biased. Emotionally disturbed. On behalf of all of us at Mojo, we apologize. Stewart's and Richard. PC Radio.
So interesting talking to these people who have, and by the way, welcome, Richard.
Thank you, sir.
Running a little bit late here today. He was doing his producer duties for the show, meeting with potential sponsors and doing all of the things that Richard does behind the scenes. Can't thank him enough, by the way. It's interesting when we're talking to people, you know, like Jason Fick, who's, I mean, his thing was completely shut down and thrown out in California, but that's what gets him to the Supreme Court level, because the Supreme Court, as we know, is the most powerful place to take your appeal here in the United States. And it sounds, according to the Supreme Court justice, they're on the same page. They're saying exactly the same thing. Now, imagine if Section 230 were reformed and we could actually say things without having things removed, without having the looming threat of liability for these tech giants like Twitter and Facebook and, you know, Parler, YouTube, Google, all these people that, you know, they have their own political agendas. They it's no secret that Twitter and Facebook are in bed with the communist regime that is Joe Biden and the liberal progressive radicals that have hijacked the Democratic Party. They've come right out and shown us that. They completely ignored a post from the New York Post. They completely shut it down. They completely ignored everything about Jovan, what's his name, Pulitzer, down in Georgia, who hacked into Dominion software. I mean, this is astounding. This is huge. Our entire democracy is under attack. The proof is right there, and they're shutting it down and completely hiding it from Americans. That pisses me off.
Well, you know, I'm grateful for him. These are the types of trailblazers that we have been talking about for the last week or two, man. You know, guys that are going to get up off the couch, they're going to pick up the sword, as you talked about yesterday.
Yeah, put down the mask, pick up the sword.
Yeah, and take the fight to the enemy. And that's exactly what he's doing. California shut him down. Screw him. Go right to the next level.
It's actually good that they did, because now he has the platform that everybody is seeking for this Section 230. Donald Trump just tweeted the other day about how the Republican-led Senate has pissed away the opportunity at reforming or eradicating completely Section 230. Now, we know that Donald Trump is an extremely calculated, highly intelligent individual who's, I don't know if the guy ever sleeps, for crying out loud. And we know that every move, the art of the deal, everything that he does is completely 100% calculated. And so that tweet may be completely fabricated to lead, you know, Democrats down one road, lead Republicans down another, because he knows that he's being attacked by all angles, and he knows that he doesn't have friends in the GOP. He has very limited people that are standing by his side that call themselves Republicans. And the only people that are left remaining next to Donald Trump are patriots, real, thoroughbred, purebred, American, God-loving, constitutionalist patriots. Those are the only people that he has by him, and those are just a handful. You know, my dad always said, I may not have a whole bunch of friends, but the few that I have, blood wouldn't bring us closer together. We're brothers. Yeah. I trust them with my life every single day. I have thousands of acquaintances, people that I know, thousands all over the country, but these are not my friends. And the same thing is going on with Donald Trump, and he knows that. And that's why he does that. And then you're talking about taking the fight to these people, and that's why I find it interesting with Lisa Hansen, Lisa Monet Zarza, Angela Marsden, these people in Grant City, New York, on Staten Island. They are taking the fight to them in their own way, which is not less important than what Jason Fick is doing. It's equally as important to say, no. This Constitution is, right, it's just a different thing. We have to keep applying the pressure. That's what I'm trying to point out here. Patriots, it's time to rise in every single way that we can, whether it's by fighting big tech giants, fighting the mainstream media, getting the word out, standing up, refusing the mask, opening your business. It's your constitutional right. I am tired of people referring to these business owners as illegal or acting in defiance.
Murderers, even.
They're not acting in defiance, and they're not responsible for killing anybody. If you die, that's called Darwinism. It's natural selection, survival of the fittest. If you were stupid enough to take your immune compromised ass into Lisa Hansen's restaurant in Albert Lee, Minnesota, or Angela Marsden's in California, or the big beard having what's his name general manager out in Staten Island and Grant City, then you deserve to die. And I'm not going to miss you. Call that controversial if you want to. It doesn't get any more controversial than this. I want to show you a tweet. And I grabbed a screenshot of this the other day on Friday of last week. And this is from Lynn Wood. He said, quote, if Pence is arrested, Secretary Pompeo will save the election. Pence will be in jail awaiting trial for treason. He will face execution by firing squad. He is a coward and will sing like a bird and confess all. Wow. I mean, thanks. That is some extremely powerful stuff. And at the top of the show, I said, Lynn Wood is doing something that is so courageous, so brave. He has put himself on an island like a cornerback against Terrell Owens.
Or Ocho Cinco.
Or Chad Ocho. I think they're one and the same. That's another conspiracy. They look just like each other, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll call Terrell Owens and tell him that. I'm not scared. I got T.O.'s phone number. I'll call him. I'll call him live on the air. We'll do that tomorrow. We'll call T.O. live on the radio. We'll see if he hangs up in our face. We don't get along in the sense of politics, T.O. and I don't. We don't see eye to eye about the police. We don't see eye to eye about systemic racism. We don't see eye to eye about Donald Trump and Joe Biden. But T.O. doesn't get it. Terrell Owens is completely sheltered. He has been brainwashed. He's still enslaved by the Democratic Party. Terrell Owens doesn't have any critical thinking skills. He is not strong enough mentally to think on his own and get outside of the box of this propaganda spewing mainstream media. He's part of it. He's part of the problem. He's in the media all the time. He's a commentator. He's on TV all the time. He's spewing, he's regurgitating this nonsense every single day. He is part of the problem. See, he is complicit in keeping African-American, black and brown people or members of minority communities enslaved and entrapped into the ghettos where all they have is their first of the month check. He is part of the problem. And it's easy for somebody like Terrell Owens to get out in front of everybody and say those things because he's a multimillionaire who, by the way, the guy that hates America, but is getting paid millions of dollars to play a kid's game. In what other country is that possible?
Not many.
What country is it that T.O. wants to model our country after now?
I think that's a great question for all these folks that are hating America all of a sudden.
Yeah.
What country, what land is it that you want this place to look like? And if we can't get there,
go there.
I'm not willing to make our country look like any other country. Pack your sorry ass up and go ahead and go.
Getting back to Lynn Wood, I mean, this is quite the tweet. And, you know, he's also calling out the Chief Justice.
Mm-hmm.
He's also calling out, I mean, there's a lot of people here that he's calling out. Mitch McConnell. And, you know, he's on an island. Like I started to get into before I went into my TO rant. He's on an island where he has now separated himself from anybody that really is willing. I mean, he said that Jeffrey Epstein was still alive, for crying out loud.
Yeah, that's yikes.
And so people are starting naturally to question Lynn Wood's sanity, but I'm not. I'm not one of those people. Lynn Wood is an American patriot. Now, we've invited him to be on the show. I was actually texting with Lynn Wood. I showed you those text messages. Yeah. He's, you know, a little consumed. He's a little busy. He's, you know, dealing
understandable
with Kyle Rittenhouse and then now dealing with all of this. He's got his hands full. And so he didn't actually say no to me, but he hasn't confirmed a time yet. But we will hope to have Lynn Wood on the program because we support what he's doing. Listen, Anytime a patriot is willing to put his neck out there literally in the line of fire to get it chopped off by a guillotine, if that's pronouncing it right, guillotine. I support that. Now, some would say, well, Stu, that's irresponsible because you don't know that what Lynn Wood is saying is true or not. Well, I'm willing
you don't
to take
know that it's not true.
I'm willing to take Lynn Wood's reputation for what it is at face value. Lynn Wood is one of the most, as I said, respected defamation lawyers in the world, in the entire world. Now, would somebody who practices defamation law, somebody who defends people who are being sued and somebody who sues people who are slandering or defaming somebody, would somebody like that, who knows the law, who knows what defamation really is, would somebody like that actually go to social media in front of 1.5 million people and defame somebody or slander somebody without knowing that what he's saying is true? Because remember that defamation and slander is saying something about somebody that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Making an accusation like, you know, I saw Richard Leonard yesterday kissing a man. Well, that would be defamation and slander because that's not true. I did. And that was maybe a
horrible
bad example. So, I'm sorry. But that would be defamation and slander.
Yes, absolutely.
And you could sue the shit out of me for saying something like that on a public platform. And Lynn Wood, I would hope that he wouldn't take that case, but he might, and then I would be really screwed. But what I'm saying is, would somebody in Lynn Wood's position, knowing what's at stake, knowing the repercussions, knowing that our republic is hanging in the balance, he's making a choice right now as to decide what's more important, my life, the rest of my livelihood as I know it. Lynn Wood will never, ever live life the same after tweeting something like this. Right. He will never live life the same after saying that the Vice President Mike Pence will be in jail awaiting trial for treason. He will face execution by firing squad. He's a coward and will sing like a bird and confess all. Lynn Wood would not say some stuff like that, knowing how that could come back on him unless he really had something. And here's what I think, and I briefly touched on this at the top of the show, but what I think is that he is a brilliant person. A brilliant person who knows if he says that Chief Justice Roberts is participating in pedophilia, he must know something. Because the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States of America, the highest court in the land, is being accused now of being complicit in pedophilia.
That's a hell of an accusation. So he better be right.
I'm willing to say that I'm going to put my neck out here. Now, I've made some pretty controversial calls on this program. I've been right. I have been right all of the time. I hope I'm not wrong. I hope this isn't the doozy right now.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm willing to bet that that's what's going on here and that Lynn Wood knows exactly what he's talking about. Now, when he's calling out the vice president, this comes at an interesting time because just last week, the vice president said that he wouldn't resist the dismissal of a lawsuit that would interrupt his authority as the vice president to certify the election and so on and so forth. This is, as we're approaching January 6th, Patriots Day, there couldn't be a more critical time for all of this to be hitting. The lawsuit with Jason Fick, Patriots Day coming up. The president has been silent. Vice President Pence is acting weird. Mitch McConnell's doing secret handshakes with Joe Biden. Lynn Wood is out here throwing everything on the table. Sidney Powell is still, she's released 120 pages and still talking about she has more. Joe Von Pulitzer is coming out here saying that he hacked into the Dominion system and he had proof about that. And then, as I just tweeted, I just retweeted on Friday, let me see if I can find it here, because I was right again. You remember we dropped the tapes from Arizona. Mm-hmm. You remember that, right?
Yes.
That was kind of big. We dropped the tapes from Arizona. Kinda. Yeah. Now listen to this.
It was real big.
Patrick Byrne tweeted, big news, counterfeit Fulton County, Georgia ballots. On a tip, our operative entered the Fulton County, Atlanta warehouse and took this series of photos. These are fake ballots. He has photographs all over the place. Fulton, November 2020, General Election Day. Fulton County Department of Voter Registration and Election. Attention, Dwight Brower. He's got all of these photographs, and guess where he's alleging that these came from? Arizona.
Weird.
I told you that these things came from Arizona. We had the tapes of Kenneth Scott Koch. We had the pictures of the Korea airplane. We had the admission from Kenneth Scott Koch, who has DOD ties and clearances, according to the cage numbers that we showed you. He was behind the line in Arizona. If fingers reach away from all of these ballots, he knows, and he said, these ballots were flown out by UPS and FedEx. They were disseminated across the country. A lot of them went to Vegas. Some of them went to Maricopa County, and the rest were dispersed everywhere else. She asked him right on the tapes, so are you saying that these ballots were used to jade the election in favor of Vice President Joe Biden? And he said, yes, they were. That was a bomb. Now, we were supposed to, as I said, actually have video of these ballots being offloaded. We didn't get them because it was a matter of security, compromising security for the security teams that are there protecting this person. And then more security teams would be required because it would be known by the positioning of where the person was standing taking the video. It would be known by these people like Koch and his bosses over at that security company exactly who it was that gave that video to us. And so that would then jeopardize the safety of somebody else and more security teams because they would be required to be there protecting this person. A lot of people's lives are in danger here. But I felt like we didn't really need the video because here's why. The video was shot from, a distance away. Yes, you could see that there were brown boxes being offloaded from the plane that is in question. The plane that was under the protection of the National Guard in Arizona, according to Scott Koch. that these people, that now that implicates the governor of Arizona, Doug Ducey. That implicates the entire U.S. Army. That implicates the Department of Defense. People's lives are in danger when they're making accusations like that, and tapes are getting dropped all over the place. But the video would have substantiated nothing, really, other than the fact that boxes were offloaded from the plane. There was no physical photographs or videos of what was inside of, what the boxes actually contained. So I don't think it was relevant. Now, I got a little bit of blowback. Well, where's the videos? And try to tweet all of that. I mean, you're limited to some characters. Yeah. So I'll explain it here. That's why, and that's why it doesn't really matter. But now you have Patrick Byrne tweeting out actual photos of fake phony ballots in Fulton County, Georgia. Jovan Pulitzer hacking into the Dominion systems in Fulton County, Georgia. The mainstream media is nowhere on this. And unless you're listening to this program, or you happen to follow Patrick Byrne or Jovan Pulitzer on Twitter or Parler or wherever else you might be able to hunt these people down because you might have heard a rumor about this stuff, you're not going to know about any of it. That infuriates me, Richard. That pisses me off.
Well, you know, I mean, we've been talking about the same thing for weeks and weeks, man. And it's just, you know, you're never going to get anybody to believe that the mainstream media isn't on social media to see all this stuff. That excuse won't work. There is yeah. no other plausible idea or anything, explanation or anything that would lead anybody of right sound mind to believe that, well, we just didn't know about it.
This is all part of the plan. This is all part of the plan. This is the push. This is the push for communism in America. I mean, there's no, like you said, there's no other plausible explanation for this. There's no other realistic yeah. ideal here. This is the push for communism in America. This is the push for power to go to one group of people while they eliminate everybody else. I mean, I'm talking about like extermination here. I'm talking about leading you to the water. You're thirsty as hell. They're going to lead you to the water hole and execute you. I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen here. These radical ideas that would seem so fringe, you know, 5 years ago, I would have never told you that there's going to be boxcars lined up for people to get into and be shipped off to Camp COVID. I would have never told you that you're going to be going to Trump re-education camps where you're going to be cleansed before you're released back into the general population if you're not executed and murdered and tortured beforehand. I would have never told you that I believe a guy like Lynn Wood when he's saying that Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States is involved in pedophilia. I would have never broadcast any of this stuff 5 years ago. You would have told me that I deserve to be in a loony bin, and I would have probably tended to have agreed with you back then. But right now, in 2021, freshly in here, as we said goodbye to 2020, quite possibly the most horrific year that the country has ever been through, if you survived it, the likelihood of you living forever is pretty good. Now it all seems realistic. Now it all seems so plausible. Now it's all right in front of your face.
And finally, we're at a point where there is no news out there that's more important than this. Not at this point. And nobody is broadcasting it. So that can't be used as an excuse either, that there's something a little more important.
I wonder if cameras will be in Washington, D.C. even on the 6th. I mean, I wonder if cameras will even be there from the mainstream media. I'm wondering if the media is even going to show you the convergence and the descent of all these patriots into Washington, D.C. They might say, well, a couple gathered there in support of President Trump.
Oh, yeah. No, but there'll be a camera on the podium, and that's probably about it.
I don't even know if he's planning to speak. I mean, he may or may not. I don't know. If I were President Trump, I'd get the hell out of there and go somewhere. I mean, listen, nothing is far-fetched anymore. And listen, be careful out there. If you're going there, be vigilant. Be careful. Watch yeah. your six and watch the backs of the people that you are there with, because I'm telling you right now, there would be no more opportune time than then to strike. And if you're not going to Washington, D.C., and you're going to a place like, I know here in St. Paul, Minnesota, there's a Storm the Capitol rally. It's Patriots Day. There are going to be gatherings like this all over the country. Large amounts of patriots gathered in one area. It doesn't take a rocket scientist here to figure out that there would be no better time to strike than then.
Right.
So make sure that you are vigilant. We will be. But we are not going to ignore the opportunity to support our president, to stand up for this republic, to stand up for this country, to stand up against tyranny, to stand up against communism, and to say, hell no, we are not going to lay here and take it. We're not going to be in the missionary position. Well, you BF us, you know, like Kamala Harris or AOC.
That's right. No BF in here.
Yeah, because that would be defamation. That would be defamation if we were to make those allegations. By the way, Richard Leonard does not kiss men. Let's just put that on the record right now.
Thank you very much.
These things always seem to go by a lot faster than I would like them to. Another powerful conversation here on PC Radio. We will be back tomorrow with more PC Radio. Do not go anywhere else for your news other than right here. Make sure to subscribe to our free Rumble channel. Just search PC Radio. Also, follow me on Twitter at Real Stu Peters, Richard J. That's at Real Richard J for Richard Leonard. We're on Parler with the same handles. And we are on Facebook. Just search the Patriotically Correct Radio Show. Until we see you again next time. Here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. May they be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us that do it, Patriots, because we're the ones that's used to it. Remember to be vigilant. Fly low and avoid that radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car, and when they do, save the radio!